You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And the rumor mill keeps on churning. NBA free agency begins late Sunday afternoon here in Houston, and as we chat Wednesday night, the Rockets still appear to be very much full speed ahead on their plan to somehow lure four-time All-Star Jimmy Butler away from the Philadelphia 76ers and back closer to his home of Tomball, Texas. To talk about it more and where things stand at the moment, welcome in to a new episode here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. We're also sponsored by Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now underway. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of all the specials. In today's show on this Wednesday, June 26th, we're going to be breaking down the latest news as it pertains to the ongoing pursuit of Jimmy Butler by the Rockets. Really, we've known that this is Houston's top offseason target for a while, and that's why we've already had several shows this month on this very topic. And even though the Rockets are well above the NBA salary cap, there are still multiple means by which they could land him, even though the reports are that Butler is unlikely to opt in to the final year of his existing deal to facilitate a move. That, of course, is what Chris Paul did under similar circumstances 2 years ago. It is worth noting that he still, as I'm recording this as of Wednesday evening, has not officially opted out to become a free agent just yet. The deadline for him to do so is Saturday the 29th, and we're now almost within 2 days of that, and he's yet to officially do it. It could be due diligence, and it's worth noting that Jimmy has been having a lot of fun in Brazil on vacation, according to his Instagram, so everything might be delayed just for that reason. But until he officially opts out, we can't rule out that scenario, and obviously that's the ideal scenario for the Rockets because he would have a lower cap figure of only about $20 million for Houston to match in a trade. That means that only one of Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, not both, would have to go out to make the math work, and an opt-in trade would also allow Houston to avoid a hard salary cap, which would make it a lot easier for Daryl Morey to fill out his roster. With that said, as we discussed last week, the much more likely scenario is for the Rockets to pursue Butler by sign and trade in free agency, which can't get done until Butler officially opts out and free agency actually begins on Sunday, June 30th. I know there are some asking why Butler might hypothetically make his new team worse, since this route probably requires giving up both Gordon and Capella and triggering a hard cap, rather than the opt-in route and the Rockets having all this flexibility and at least one of Gordon and Capella in all likelihood. The reality, though, as I've explained in the past, is that Butler turns 30 years old later this summer, and you'd be literally asking him to give up $140 or more million dollars guaranteed to opt in for only $20 million guaranteed. That's about 15% of what he would otherwise earn on the open market this summer. That would be quite a sacrifice. Now, I know the Rockets, they can try to make a wink-wink promise and whatnot, but that's not binding at all, and Butler's probably trying to find the best balance he can between certainly he wants to have a chance to win a title, but he also wants to secure the best financial situation for himself while doing so. So that's why the sign-and-trade scenario is the most likely route for Butler to get to Houston, and as far as I can tell, everything still seems all systems go on that front. Jonathan Fagan, Rockets beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, first reported it at the end of last week, and then we had confirmation nationally this week from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that this is, in fact, the Rockets' plan. Woj first reported it Tuesday night that the Rockets were trying to get a Butler sign and trade in free agency, and then Wednesday he followed up by saying that the Rockets had been making calls with Eric Gordon, Clint Capella, and PJ Tucker all available around the league in pursuit of a first-round draft pick that could be rerouted to Philadelphia. Now, I still don't think that Tucker would actually be included. I think it's more due diligence on that front. If for some reason Tucker would get you a much more attractive first-round pick that could enable the deal with the Sixers, then sure, you'd consider it, but I think PJ Tucker is disproportionately valuable to the Rockets, more so than he is other teams based on his unique role here in Houston and the Rockets being the epitome of a win-now franchise. For most other teams, Tucker at 34 probably is not as valuable as a 25-year-old Clint Capella, 17-13, 65% shooting, who may just be a little bit weaker of a fit in Houston relative to other locations based on the Rockets' win-now emphasis and certain limitations of his, although we'll see if the Warriors are the Warriors by next postseason. That might change the calculus for the Rockets in terms of how Clint is viewed as well. Regardless, though, the point is that the Rockets, they're doing their due diligence in terms of not just with the Sixers and Jimmy Butler. I'm sure Harden and Jimmy have been communicating. That's been reported in the past by Stephen A. Smith. And now we've heard nationally this week from Woj, after late last week hearing locally from Jonathan Fagan, that yes, this is absolutely the Rockets' plan A entering free agency. Now, Ali Vajani of The Athletic, based here in Houston, he's been a repeated guest on this very program. He also reported late Tuesday night that the Rockets would meet with Butler in Philadelphia once free agency opens and that they're confident in their ability to land him. I think certainly the Rockets jumping through all these hoops and spending this much time on the possibility tells you that there is at least some hope. In 2016, keep in mind, there was a similar relationship between Harden and Kevin Durant, which certainly James tried to do his recruiting, but by late June, early July, clearly the signals had been sent to James that KD was not interested in the Rockets, and once July got here, the Rockets did not spend any time on that possibility. They moved on down their list, Al Horford, Kent Bazemore, and ultimately signing Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. So I don't think the Rockets would be spending this much time if Jimmy Butler had said he's not interested. The question is he intrigued? Or has he made up his mind that this is what he wants? That, to me, is the signal that you should be looking for over the next few days, and that's what we're going to be looking at on today's show. There was also an interesting report in The Athletic from Sam Amick, who mentioned six potential mid-level exception names that the Rockets might pursue, and of those six, three of them were centers only. Needless to say, the Rockets would not use their only real money this summer. They're a well-over-the-cap team, so the MLE, outside of trades, is the only way you can bring in new talent. Well, if Clint Capella is sticking around, you're not going to sign a five. So that should tell you that be it the Butler sign and trade or some other deal involving Clint, there's definitely at least a scenario, a possibility where Clint gets moved. And then if that's the case, they would need to turn their MLE focus to adding another big man to replace him. As far as the basketball merits of all of this and the Butler talk, you can just check out our archives because we've been discussing this hypothetical for weeks, really ever since the season ended, including all the various cap mechanisms and the consequences of all the paths involved. What I'm going to try and focus on in today's show is the timing, because that's what's increasingly coming into focus as we enter these final few days, now within 100 hours, of free agency, which begins at 5 p.m. Houston time on Sunday. In today's show, we'll look at it from the Philadelphia perspective, then the Houston perspective, and then any other teams that might be out there in Butler's market. I'm going to start, though, with Philadelphia, because on paper, to me, they still should be the favorite. And if I had to bet money, I know there's a lot of smoke about the Rockets and Jimmy. I hope it happens. But if I had to bet, I think I'd still pick the Sixers because they check the most boxes. Obviously, financially, with that being his existing team and having bird rights, they can offer him a fifth year that no other team can. According to many reports, the Sixers are prepared to make that offer. 5 years, $190 million. Other teams can only offer 4 years, $140 million. So that's an extra year, a lot of guaranteed money to turn down when Butler's going to be 35 years old and probably unable to get that money at that time. So it's a lot to give up in terms of guaranteed funds. I think that makes them a favorite. And then above and beyond that, the reason I think Butler would stay is Philadelphia is a really good basketball team. Keep in mind, they were one game from beating the current NBA champions. They took the Raptors to 7 and lost on the road in that game 7 on a 4-bounce buzzer beater. The Sixers were really good. And while they do have a lot of free agents, Butler, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, they have bird rights on all of them, and there's a pretty compelling case for the Sixers, especially with Joel Embiid, as young as he is, just to run it back. Now, what we don't know is if there are other circumstances. Maybe Butler doesn't get along in the locker room with those guys as much as he thinks he would with James Harden and Chris Paul in Houston. Maybe he just feels the fit in Houston is better. Maybe he'd prefer to be closer to his home of Tomball, Texas, which is only, of course, about 30 miles outside of Houston. There are any number of reasons, but in terms of both basketball and money, the Sixers are every bit as close as the Rockets to contending, and they can offer more money. So that's why you would think, going into this process, that the Sixers are the favorites. However, what is becoming more interesting is that we have not heard a clear signal from Jimmy Butler or his camp that he wants to stay there. Typically, when you're in these situations, as you get within a few days of free agency, if the player wants to stick around, there are some clear signals. Keep in mind, Chris Paul a year ago, very similar circumstances with the Rockets and CP a year ago to Philly and Butler now. By this point, we all expected, and it happened, CP to re-sign with the Rockets in the opening moments of free agency. He had been there a year. There wasn't a real need to make a presentation. Really, the product on the floor did all the talking for Daryl Morey, and it was just a matter of whether that was enough for CP, whether in his heart this is where he wanted to be. It was. The deal got done quickly. To this point, we have not heard that type of signal from Butler, and beyond that, there's a reason why the Rockets are spending this much time on these scenarios. Now, we don't know that they've been told 100% this is where he wants to be. Maybe they were just told that it's a possibility that he's highly considering it. But definitely they have not been told no. This is not like a Kevin Durant situation from 2016. The Rockets would not be going down this path unless they had been given some indication that it was not at least a viable possibility. So at this point, the next move, and it's probably not going to be leaked to the media, it would probably be leaked to the Philadelphia front office, is going to be from Jimmy Butler. What does he want? The last few days he's been in Brazil on vacation. Maybe he's just having some fun. Maybe he's thinking about it. I don't know. But now he's back in the States. This is his time. And the reason that I think something is going to be told to Philadelphia relatively quickly is because there is a huge time incentive for the Sixers to figure out whether Jimmy is in or out. Philly is in a very unique spot from a salary cap perspective in that they could have as much as $50 million in cap room this summer, or they could stay over the cap the entire time. With Butler, Tobias Harris, J.J. Redick, three big cogs for those guys all entering free agency. Right now, they're above the cap because they have the bird rights and there's no point in renouncing them. So the Sixers at the moment have to operate under the possibility that they could stay above the cap. And if that's the case, the free agents that on July 1st they're going to be going after would be of the lower tier, somewhere around the mid-level exception, because that's all they would be able to spend. On the other hand, if one or more of those guys between Butler, Harris, and Redick were to leave, the Sixers could have as much as $50 million in cap room. Now, the reality would probably be somewhere in between. I doubt they go 3-for-3 or 0-for-3. 1-for-3 or 2-for-3 is probably more realistic. In that case, you're somewhere probably between, I don't know, $15 and $30 million in cap room. It also depends on exactly what they take back in a Butler sign and trade for the Rockets, if they choose to do that at all. But the point is, you'd be shopping then in a much higher bracket than if Butler were staying, and you would be looking just at the MLE tier. So in terms of the rest of the offseason, these free agents are not going to wait around for the Sixers to figure out their business. There is a reason for Elton Brand and the Sixers ownership management to figure out very quickly whether Jimmy is in or out, so that they know how to proceed with the rest of their offseason. Do they have cap room? Because if they're going to have cap room, it behooves them to know as soon as possible before these free agents start getting snapped up. The other reason it behooves Philadelphia from a timing perspective to figure out Jimmy's intentions, in any sign and trade with the Rockets, it almost certainly has to be three teams. For starters, because the likely scenario, not locked in stone, but most likely the Sixers would use bird rights to sign Butler, which would make him a base year compensation player. And in that case, his outgoing salary would only be about $20 million, whereas for Houston, it would be the true base in year one of $32 million. So the Rockets would have to send out that much, but Philadelphia couldn't take that much. So you'd have to have a third team to take either Capella or hypothetically PJ Tucker. That's why the Rockets are canvassing the league today, in my opinion, the Woj report. With that said, there is a clear incentive for Philadelphia and Houston, for that matter, to figure out as early as possible, once free agency begins at 5 p.m. Houston time on June 30th. Because the teams that could conceivably take Clint Capella, look, he's a nice player, but they're not going to wait around forever. Sacramento, Atlanta, New Orleans, teams like that. They may like Clint. He's a good player, a good contract, but he's hardly irreplaceable. They're not going to wait around for days thinking, oh, maybe we'll get Clint Capella. He's a good player. He's not that type of player. If it's not ready for them, they'll move on down the list to other options, and then that possibility may not be there. So for the Sixers, number one, they probably can't, for financial reasons, the base year compensation rule, take back both Gordon and Capella or Tucker, even if they were willing and wanted to. Secondly, they probably don't need a $17 million a year backup center to Joel Embiid, which is what Capella would be in Philly, so he'd be worth more to other teams than Philadelphia. They'd rather the draft pick or whatever asset that team would give up. Well, in order to extract peak value for Capella or whatever third team or player it may be, then you need to be ready to act as close to July 1st as possible, or June 30th in this case, because now free agency starts a few hours before the calendar officially flips to July 1st. So for all of those reasons, and the fact that Butler has been in Philly a year, it's similar to Chris Paul a year ago in Houston. There's no need for a big presentation, a fancy wine and dine experience. No, he knows what Philadelphia can offer financially, in terms of the basketball fit, what the locker room is like. It's just a matter of whether that is what Jimmy wants. And Philadelphia has a huge incentive to figure out sooner rather than later. So I don't think Jimmy would then leak his intentions before June 30th to the media. I don't think Woj will have a report because, honestly, the Butler camp, they don't want to deal with potential tampering allegations. We heard that a little bit about the Rockets and Chris Paul. The Clippers were not too pleased with the recruiting they alleged happened between Harden and CP going back to the 2017 regular season. I don't think you'll have Butler or anyone affiliated with him leak their intentions to the media. They don't want to go down that road. However, I do think you'll hear the Sixers pressing them for an answer. And then perhaps nationally, maybe it leaks through the Sixers beat reporters. Closer to June 30th on Sunday, I think we'll start to get some indication as to what that answer is. At this point, they clearly have not been told no. We've heard from Woj and other reporters that the Sixers are still determined to keep Butler themselves. And of course, they can offer the 5-year max, which by most accounts is what they're willing to do. Clearly, they have not been told no if that's what they're saying at this moment. Or even if they have been told no, then they're holding out some hope that maybe they can change Jimmy's mind. By June 30th, that's obviously not going to be there. It's going to be you're in or you're out. There are a lot of financial motivations and timing motivations because of the associated finances that are going to be pushing for an answer one way or another. And my guess is that by the time free agency starts on Sunday afternoon, we're going to have a pretty good sense as to what Philadelphia has been told from Jimmy Butler and his camp. And if it's good news, then the Rockets can negotiate pretty quickly. And if it's not, then the Rockets can pivot to their other options. What are those other potential options? We'll talk about them a little bit in our second segment coming up, along with why timing is very important to the Rockets as well in these negotiations. But before we get there, I want to tell you a little bit about our friends over at Gallery Furniture, where they've kicked off the summer with red hot savings on select items during the red hot summer sale. Stop by any convenient Houston area Gallery Furniture location at 6006 North Freeway, 7227 West Grand Parkway South, or 2411 Post Oak Boulevard to take advantage of 40 to 60% savings on Houston's best selection of solid wood, made in America furniture, name brand mattresses, 100% real top grain leather and upholstered living room styles, one of a kind market samples, and so much more. Plus, you'll find Gallery Furniture's lowest prices ever on quality pieces for every room in your home, including sofas starting at $399, dining sets as low as $599, Sealy queen size mattresses starting at $599, and more. Don't miss your chance to enjoy these incredible summer savings at Gallery Furniture. And as always, when you shop Gallery Furniture today, you can have your quality purchases delivered straight to your Houston area home within hours when you choose same-day delivery. You can also visit them at galleryfurniture.com. All right, this is Locked on Rockets. Welcome back into the program. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790. And on this show, Wednesday night, we're looking at the current landscape of the Jimmy Butler talks. Clearly, that's the plan A for the Rockets entering free agency, which is now under 100 hours away. And in our usual three-part show, we're breaking it up by team. We started with Philadelphia, what their incentive is, their sense of urgency with regards to the timing entering these final days, because that's Jimmy's existing team. They can offer certainly the most money, maybe the best basketball fit. So it's appropriate to start there, what they know and also what they don't know, because clearly they have not been given a signal that Jimmy is 100% coming back. And certainly the Rockets have been told something that at least he's open to the possibility of coming to Houston. Maybe they've been told more concretely than that, but that could be wishful thinking. Let's wait and see what happens over the next few days. Here in segment two, we're going to look at it from the Rockets' perspective. Then in our closing segment, we'll spin it to any other teams in the NBA that might could get in the mix for Jimmy and what to watch for on that front from a Houston perspective. Anyway, as far as the Rockets themselves, what's interesting in all these reports that have come out in the last 24 hours, and I'm guessing a few reporters got to talk to Daryl at the NBA Awards on Monday evening out in Los Angeles, and perhaps that's the sourcing for a lot of this. We heard from Sam Amick of The Athletic, one of many, many well-sourced reports in the last 24 hours, that the Rockets have an MLE list, the mid-level exception, which probably the taxpayer MLE, although if they trade for Butler, it triggers a hard cap. You could get the non-taxpayer MLE. The taxpayer MLE is somewhere about $5.8 million. The non-taxpayer closer to $9. Now, granted, because they're hard capped, even if they have the full non-taxpayer MLE to use, they might not can use every penny of it. We'll have to wait and see exactly what the roster looks like at this point. But whether it's the taxpayer MLE or the non-taxpayer, it's not that different in value, somewhere between $6 and $9 million roughly they'll have to spend on the open market. And according to Sam Amick, the Rockets have six names on their list as far as 3 and D types, which we've speculated on for a while, especially if the Rockets don't land Jimmy Butler. That's definitely a need for the Rockets, who are starting Eric Gordon, a very undersized, even at the 2, Eric is a little undersized, and certainly at the 3, the Rockets apparently have Danny Green, Jeremy Lamb, and Al-Farouq Aminu on their list. All of those potentially good fits as far as some combination of either 3-point shooting, scoring, or especially in the case of Green and Aminu, very good defense and length. But the other 3 of their 6-person MLE list for the Rockets, they're 5s only. DeAndre Jordan, Brooke Lopez, and Kevon Looney. What's most intriguing about this list is the completely different roles for each set of 3. And what that should tell you is that the Rockets have 2 clearly different paths that they could see the start of free agency taking them on. Obviously, one path, if they keep Eric Gordon, keep Clint Capella, they largely run it back in regards to the starting lineup, which with the Warriors missing KD and Klay Thompson for all or most of next season, it's more viable than I thought a month ago. If that's the case, the Rockets could use more length, more shooting, more defense, and if they're largely running it back, then get a versatile Danny Green type. That makes a lot of sense for Houston's situation, and that's one of the names on the list, along with Jeremy Lamb. It'd be kind of funny since he was traded as part of the original Harden trade, and Al-Farouq Aminu, who's given the Rockets fits for years, and maybe Houston would benefit just from getting him off of teams on which he could torch the Rockets inexplicably. Clearly, if the Rockets run it back, there's that 3 and D scenario, which we've been speculating on for weeks, as most likely based on the current roster as it stands today. What's interesting about the 3-5s, the other 50% of the list, it makes no sense whatsoever for the Rockets to spend their MLE, the only real chip they have other than trades to improve their roster as far as making a splash external signing. It makes no sense for Houston to spend the MLE on a center if Clint Capella is staying. Because if Clint's staying, even if you take down his minutes from mid-30s to somehow, you know, upper 20s to 30, you're still looking at only, at the most, 18 minutes per game, and that's if you've given up on Isaiah Hartenstein. There's just not enough minutes there, and of course it's an NBA where fives only seem to be somewhat of a dying breed. The Rockets are not going to spend the only chip at their disposal in a summer that's so much about winning now on a five only unless Clint is gone, and they desperately need that production to be filled, that role to be filled. So this should clearly tell you that there is a path in which they don't get Butler, and there's a case where they probably do. Now, maybe there's another trade out there that I'm unaware of in which Clint could go somewhere else. We don't know, but certainly, based on all the media reports, I'd say Clint going out in a 3-team sign-and-trade that lands Butler seems to be the most reasonable. What's interesting about this is that you might not realize it, but there's a big timing incentive for the Rockets to get it done very quickly as well in regards to sorting out whether they are or aren't getting Jimmy Butler. I've seen some speculation regarding the MLE for Houston that they could take their time and wait a week or two into free agency and then use it on the best bargain. I don't expect that to happen at all. Now, I could see the Rockets taking their time with minimum level signings. Think last summer when, around July 10th, they got James Ennis. He clearly wanted more money. He fell through the cracks a little bit. I know he was a relative disappointment compared to how we hyped him up, but certainly for the minimum, he was a quality rotation player. He was useful. And then they waited on Carmelo Anthony into August for him to get all his business sorted out with the Oklahoma City Thunder. The year before that, they signed Luke Baumute around July 17th because clearly he wanted more than the minimum, but they waited for his market to come down. They'll hang around for potential minimum signings. But as far as the MLE, I think you'll see them act pretty quickly because if you hang on to that MLE in hopes that maybe in time this guy might take it, well, if he doesn't, then what are you going to do? Because most of the other players have already signed. I think the Rockets will be very aggressive within the first few days of free agency. Think back to 2017. They signed PJ Tucker with the MLE day one, July 1st. They made one attempt for a few hours at Andre Iguodala. It was pretty clear that wasn't working out, so they pivoted to PJ, and that deal was done. Look at the Warriors last summer with DeMarcus Cousins. That was July 2nd. And to some degree, it does make you more attractive when you're a contender. There's only so many spots on the raft, so I do think it's a pretty attractive gig for free agents to be around the league. They know, especially if you're a center and you're getting fed lobs from the likes of Chris Paul and James Harden, it'll make you look good for a year, and then you could enter free agency next summer, perhaps with an even bigger market. As far as Houston is concerned, I don't think they're going to use their most precious asset, the MLE, and wait around for a week or two, because whoever you think you might can get if their market comes down, well, if it doesn't happen as you expect, the risk is too great, because at that point, there's not going to be that much else on the market for you to then turn around and use your money on. Instead, what I think Houston is going to do, they'll feel out the agents for these players within the first day or two of free agency, and the ones that show some level of interest, they'll give them basically a deadline. They'll say, hey, we need to know, because if it's not happening, we're going to move on the list to our targets. We talked about the Warriors doing it to some degree with DeMarcus Cousins. We saw it at the bottom of the food chain with the Suns and Trevor Ariza, that bloated one-year $15 million deal. There were reports after the fact that the Suns basically told Ariza that, hey, you either have to take it or we're going to offer this money to someone else. I think that's what you're going to see the Rockets do, because with them having such an incentive to use that, they know with James Harden turning 30, Chris Paul 34, they're running out of time in terms of the win now emphasis. They need to use that MLE, and they can't risk dragging this into July and maybe somebody good comes down in terms of their asking price later on. No, they're going to want to know pretty quickly. Well, how this ties in to the Jimmy Butler negotiations, how do you know if you want a 3-and-D or if you want a 5? The answer depends on if you're getting Butler. So Houston, along with Philadelphia, is going to be pushing Jimmy for a decision relatively quickly. And even though the Rockets can't officially negotiate with Jimmy, of course James Harden can, and I'm sure he's been doing it all along, probably Chris Paul as well. So that's why both teams, not just Philly, but Houston as well, have a clear incentive. And there's also, as mentioned, for Philadelphia, since they're not going to be taking Clint Capella, the third team in a hypothetical sign-and-trade would, well, Houston would probably be doing a lot of the negotiating, since if they're players, they're the ones canvassing the league and trying to see what the picks are, the options for themselves, for Philadelphia, whatever it may be. Well, again, teams like Sacramento, Atlanta, New Orleans, whoever it may be, Clint Capella is not worth waiting around all of free agency on a maybe to see if, well, if Butler gets his way to Houston, can we strike? He's a nice player, but teams like those, they're going to move on down the list. They'd like to have Clint, but he's not worth the risk. If they can't get him, they'll use their cap space, their trade assets, whatever it may be, to get somebody else into those minutes. And then later on, they may not be there as a suitor, as a destination to take Capella in your three-way deal. So based on that factor, the three-way possibility and June 30th being such a key inflection point in terms of movement all around the NBA, that and the fact that the Rockets are going to want to know what to do with their mid-level exception. Are we going after fives or are we going after 3-and-D types? It's not just the Sixers that are going to be pushing for an answer from Jimmy relatively quickly. It's going to be the Rockets as well. So I don't see this being one that drags out 5-10 days and Jimmy doing a lot of tours and looking to see what happens, what his options are. No, I think it's going to happen pretty quickly, and especially if it's Philly or Houston. Now, it could take longer if there are other teams in the mix, more on that momentarily. But if it's about the Sixers or the Rockets, then I think he knows what the pitches are, and it just comes down to, be it the money, the basketball fit, the city, whatever his criteria are, it's on him to decide, and I think both sides are going to ask for a resolution as quickly as possible, and I think that's why we'll probably get one. Now, there is one scenario where it could take longer, and it would not be good for the Rockets. That's if there's a lot of teams besides the Sixers and the Rockets that find themselves in Jimmy's market. We'll talk about that momentarily in the third and final segment. But for now, I want to tell you guys a little bit about our friends over at Twillery. Because with Twillery, smart casual just got smarter and cheaper. Twillery is built on a century-old family manufacturing business. They make millions of shirts a year for leading brands, and they leverage those contacts and their team's technical know-how to keep costs down, all while maintaining high standards in quality and craftsmanship. Their view is that shirts shouldn't wrinkle, itch, or sweat. Because it's 2019, these guys know that shirts are a commodity, and they make stocking up your closet as simple as restocking beer in your fridge. Easy, affordable, and the perfect fit, guaranteed. They offer non-iron, untuckable, and performance dress shirts, and with free shipping and returns, you can try on some Twills risk-free. After all, feeling is believing. Twillery brings performance work shirts to the next level with four-way stretch material that shuts down wrinkles, stops sweat, and keeps you looking and feeling cool. Best of all, it's the top value in smart workwear. With the shop and bundle model, you all have access to shirts that competitors are selling for $100 and up for as low as $55 per shirt. Grab yourself some today at Twillery.com/LockedOn and use the promo code LockedOn for $25 off. They've even got a limited time special where you can enjoy a free set of bottle opener collar stays with your purchase. That's all from our friends over at Twillery, who you can visit at Twillery.com/LockedOn. That's Twillory. And don't forget to use that promo code LockedOn for an extra $25 off on anything in their complete line of apparel. All right, finishing up our show on this Wednesday, June 26th. This is Locked On Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. This is the final few days before free agency. At this point, we know pretty clearly that Houston's plan A involves luring Jimmy Butler. Of course, there are names further down the list. Whether they get Jimmy or not, they are going to use their mid-level exception. But the reason we can't speculate too much regarding the MLE possibilities and who the best fit is, well, we don't know what the roster is going to look like. Do they need a 3-and-D or do they need a 5? And if they need a 5, well, what's the exact composition look like of the players? Who do you have in place after a Butler deal? And then which of those centers do you want defense and rebounding? Do you want shooting, floor spacing? There's lots of different criteria. And of course, some of it also depends on which guy is more likely to say yes. But the point is, step one of any free agency process for the Rockets involves resolving this Jimmy Butler question. Then, once that is decided, step two, you can go on to the MLE, what the possibilities are there and what makes the most sense, both from a basketball standpoint and a financial perspective. As far as the Rockets and Jimmy, which is clearly the first domino, one way or another, we spent the first two segments looking at Philadelphia's perspective and Houston's perspective and why both teams have a real incentive to push Butler and his camp for an answer relatively quickly. And I also think Butler, being from Houston, having a good relationship with James Harden, he knows a lot about the Rockets, the Sixers, he's been there for a year. If these are the only two teams really in consideration, and this is the only two that there's been this week confirmed reports about nationally, if these are the only two in the talks, then I don't think it should drag on very long. The scenario to watch for, and it would not be a good one for the Rockets, is if there are a lot more teams in the mix, especially if one of those teams is another one that, like Houston, does not have cap space. There have been a couple of reports this month that I've kept my eye on. Back on June 14th, Tim Runnels of the Associated Press in Miami mentioned that the Heat had heard that Butler was interested in potentially having a meeting with them if they could clear the space or arrange a trade, whatever it may be. In the past, you think back to the fall, the Heat were one of the teams that was allegedly on Butler's list when he was trying to get traded out of Minnesota. There's also been reports the last few days from Brandon Robinson, Scoop B on Twitter, saying that there could still be interest between the Heat and Butler. That's a little bit of a frightening scenario. Now, we have not had any confirmed reports to this point, so I wouldn't assume too much. There are a lot of sources in the league who may have outdated information and could be just guessing because Butler and the Heat have clearly had some interest in the past. But given the time pressures, Butler really needs to want Houston to make it work. That's why bringing other teams into the mix is really daunting, because it drags out the timetable. And in terms of all the hurdles that a Philly-Houston sign and trade, which almost certainly, for the reasons we laid out earlier with the salary cap and Philly already having Embiid at the center spot, it would have to, it becomes even more difficult if it doesn't happen early. And there's also the question, if Butler isn't sold on Houston by now, will he be? Is he looking for a reason to go somewhere else? That is why I'm watching these other teams. Right now, there have not been confirmed reports that Butler is having a meeting with anyone else. The only teams we've heard that he's having a meeting with, the Sixers and the Rockets. Well, actually, we've only heard the Rockets, but I'm assuming because the meeting is in Philadelphia, according to Ali Bashani, he'll probably grant one to the hometown Sixers as well. It's the involvement of other teams, especially those without cap room, that would concern me a little bit. It's not so much that I think Miami could actually get Jimmy Butler, because first off, I think the Sixers would probably rather deal him to the Rockets in the Western Conference than potentially create another really good team in the East by sending him to Miami. Also, from an asset standpoint, the Heat, I guess the best way that they could make the math work, Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, but look, they're not as good as players or as assets as Eric Gordon and Clint Capella. Eric Gordon is probably a better player than Dragic, and he's also 3 years younger. Goran is 33, Eric is 30. I think nearly everyone would agree that Clint Capella is a better center, especially in today's NBA, than Hassan Whiteside. Also, Whiteside is 30, and Capella is 25. And from an asset standpoint, the Heat are in really big trouble. They can't trade a future first-round pick because of the rule that you have to have at least one pick in a two-year span, a first-rounder moving forward, they can't trade another pick until 2023. So between not having first-round picks to trade, and they've also given up a lot of their second-round picks, it's not like they have the sweetener, whereas Houston, if they need it, they do have all of their draft picks moving forward. So between that, the East versus the West, it's not so much that I think that Miami could get Jimmy, because I just don't know why that would have any appeal, the package for Miami relative to the package from Houston. I guess in terms of three-team scenarios, Dragic and Whiteside, they're expiring contracts. But again, it's not like teams are just willing to give away money. They probably want sweetener to take on those expiring contracts, and I don't know that the Heat have that. Again, I'm not so much saying that I think there's a realistic path for Butler to Miami, but the reason it would concern me is that if he's looking at a team like Miami, there's no reason for him to do that unless he legitimately wanted or had some interest in being there. Because you could see a scenario, you know, if he sets a meeting with, say, the Lakers or the Clippers, it doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to go there. Now, it could, but it could also be him telling the Sixers, hey, this is my leverage. If you don't trade me to the Rockets, I can walk here and you get nothing. Maybe the Sixers take the vague threat that he could walk somewhere and he doesn't have to schedule a meeting. Or maybe the Sixers try and call his bluff, and then at that point, Jimmy has to schedule a meeting. If he scheduled a meeting with one team that has cap space they could go to, it's not necessarily a bad sign if you're Houston. That might be required. If he schedules a meeting with a team like Miami, that's no leverage to Philadelphia because he can't go there. They have no cap space. And they really don't even have quality trade assets either. If he schedules a meeting with Miami, which is not done, but there have been a few small reports that it could be a possibility. Now, the most credible one was the Tim Reynolds of the AP. That was back on June 14th. That was over 10 days ago. Plenty of things may have changed since then. I hope they have. But if Jimmy gives a sit-down to those guys or any other team besides the Rockets that doesn't have cap space, it's concerning because since they're not leveraged to Philadelphia, there's no reason for him to do it unless he legitimately has interest in playing there. Beyond that, even teams with cap space. Okay, I can see a meeting with one, maybe two, if you just want to hit home the theme to Philadelphia, that, hey, I've got these options. But if he does a full-on tour in which there are three, four teams that conceivably could sign him with this cap space, at that point, I have a hard time believing that it's all to show leverage. At that point, it would seem clear that he's legitimately considering signing with one of those teams. And again, it's not to say that he necessarily would. It wouldn't be automatic. But what I'm saying is that the Rockets don't just need Jimmy to be okay with the idea of him going to Houston. Considering all the hurdles in terms of the contracts, the salary cap, for this to work out, and it can, but step one, Jimmy has to really, really want Houston. If you hear a lot of other teams getting in the mix, or any team for that matter, besides the Rockets that's also out of cap room and thus no leverage to the Sixers, that's a little concerning. Because I'm sure James Harden, I'm guessing Chris Paul, they've already been working on Jimmy for weeks now, even if Daryl can't officially communicate himself. Look, Chris Paul was convinced by the last week of June. He opted in. Now, Jimmy may not opt in because at his age and with his particular NBA history, he may not feel comfortable taking the risk that Chris did and passing up all the guaranteed money to each their own. It's his prerogative. He's a free agent. But even if Jimmy isn't willing to opt in, there's no reason why, if he's convinced on the Rockets, that he can't make a decision in his mind now. And maybe he has. I hope that's the case. Clearly, the Rockets believe it's at least a possibility, or they would not go to the lengths that they have over the last few days and possibly weeks. With that said, it is worth watching the other teams. Not so much that I see another one that's clearly going to jump out and take him. If I had to bet, I still think if it's not the Rockets, it would be Philadelphia. The reason the involvement of other teams would concern me is that it would indicate, at least in my opinion, that Jimmy isn't set what he wants to do. And if that's the case, considering the hurdles that it takes to get a deal with this many complications to the finish line, even if he's not ruled out Houston, that's kind of where I could see him eventually saying, you know what, I'm not sold, so why don't I just stay in Philadelphia and take the more money and what I know is a really good basketball team already. Jimmy can get to Houston, but he has to really want it. So besides watching the tells that you get from Philadelphia and Houston, that's obvious. Also watch the other teams. The longer it stays quiet, and to this point it has, there's been a couple of very small Miami rumblings, but nothing that's confirmed by any means. The longer it stays quiet in terms of not hearing any other team seriously in on Jimmy Butler, the better the possibility that maybe he has made up his mind and that Houston is where he wants to be. As far as whether that will actually happen, stay tuned. We've got a few more days to wait. So until then, or our next breaking news development, whatever it may be, this will do it for us here at Locked On Rockets on this Wednesday, June 26th show. And if you want more content before our next episode, whenever that is, of course, there are many ways that you can get that. First and foremost is Twitter, where I'm on there at Ben Dubose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, LockedOnRockets.com, Facebook account at Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways that you can access prior episodes, or you can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, those types of things. And before we go, I do want to once again thank and acknowledge our great sponsors, and keep in mind that if you support these guys, you're also helping us grow here at Locked On Rockets as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. One of those sponsors, of course, is Gallery Furniture, where the Red Hot Summer Sale is now in full swing. Visit any Houston area Gallery Furniture location or go to galleryfurniture.com to take advantage of the specials. You can also support our friends over at Twillery, where if you go to twillery.com/lockedon, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $25 off on their complete line of apparel. And in addition to supporting our sponsors, please remember that to get this show every day, you can and should subscribe to Locked On Rockets on Himalaya's new podcast app. In this ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Of course, you can also listen and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a whole lot more. And I encourage you to do so and to leave 5-star reviews wherever you can. And when you get in your car or you go to the gym, you can even tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and listen to our most recent episodes that way as well. Once again, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks to all of you for listening, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.